Our text this morning is St. John chapter 18. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." And these are your words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. And dear fellow redeemed in Christ, the accusation against Jesus was that he was campaigning to be Caesar, king, ruler, maybe even president. Part of Jesus' defense against that accusation was to point to his followers, his servants. Are they fighting for him? Is there blood shed in the streets as his disciples try to promote and defend the agenda of King Jesus? No, they all ran away. When the Jews had come to arrest Jesus earlier on that Thursday in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had gone so far as to rebuke the disciple who thought a sword was the right way to help Jesus. Jesus is not looking to be nor desiring to be a worldly power. His kingdom is not of this world. We are in 2024, a presidential election year in the United States. Over the course of this political season, hundreds of millions of dollars will be spent in attempts to persuade voters to choose the right candidate. Money is the power of the world that is wielded as a blunt force to subdue opponents, to crush them, usually metaphorically speaking only. But that is not the way of Jesus nor his kingdom. It is not of this world. The kingdom of Jesus is different. He seeks no worldly power. If so, he could have taken up the temptation of Satan several years earlier when that great liar had told Jesus, "Just bow down to me and I can give you all the world's kingdoms and glory." To which Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan." Jesus would not take that road to power and control. His way was different, not of this world. Jesus is a king with a kingdom, but in a way that neither Pilate nor any of the other of Jesus' enemies understood. The context here for John 18, verse 36, is Jesus before the governor of Judea, the Roman governor Pilate, and he had asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" There is a kingdom at stake here, but what is it? The kingdom of God is one of the petitions included in the prayer we say hundreds of times every year. The Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." The kingdom is tightly connected to the preaching of God's word taught in truth and purity. This is the kingdom of grace, the heart of which is foreign to our sinful mankind. Grace is not what we know or experience apart from Jesus Christ. Love and mercy which are undeserved and freely given for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Those are not what this world sees as worthy of a kingdom, much less the kingdom of God. When Jesus says that his kingdom is not of this world, he means that the ways of this kingdom, the goals of this kingdom, the very subjects of this kingdom, not to mention the king of this kingdom, are outside the realm of thought, tied to worldly power achieved and manifested. Now, the way of grace is not that way of power. The goals of mercy and forgiveness are not the victories desired by the world. The subject of this kingdom, the poor, the broken, the weak and shameful, the sinners, these are the ones the world prefers to walk over or use and abuse for its own agendas, which usually have little to do with actual help for these individuals. Jesus the King is most despised and soon to be handed over for execution. The kingdom of Jesus is not of this world, but it is for this world's people. It is for them to hear and believe, to leave the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of Satan, and to enter into the kingdom of heaven itself. This entrance into the kingdom of Jesus is through hearing him, his word, for his word is truth. The kingdom of Jesus will not come with the power of the sword, but with the power of God's word, described as sharper than any two-edged sword that cuts to the very heart of things, that we might know the truth with all its brilliant clarity. The kingdom of Jesus will not come with the power of the state, as if emperors or presidents or kings or CEOs or governors can bring it about. No, it is a kingdom that comes with preaching, law and gospel, with baptizing for the remission of sins in the name of the triune God, with the Lord's Supper, the true body and blood of Christ, the very ways by which the Holy Spirit creates faith in Jesus in our hearts and sustains it to everlasting life. St. Paul describes the work of this king. God has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. King Jesus will not be on the ballot here in the United States this coming November, or let us at least hope not. But that doesn't mean his kingdom isn't here. It is here, not defined by worldly power or senses, rather a kingdom of meekness, a kingdom of humility, a kingdom hidden, but no less real. We confess in the large catechism the answer, what is God's kingdom? Well, nothing other than what we learned in the creed. God sent his Son, Jesus, our Lord, into the world to redeem and deliver us from the devil's power. He sent him to bring us to himself and to govern us as a king of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and an evil conscience. Sin, death, and an evil conscience are the enemies Jesus came to defeat through his incarnation and his innocent suffering and death. That was why he was there before Pilate. And that is why the kingdom of Jesus is so misunderstood and mocked. Those enemies don't seem so threatening or so powerful until we experience their power and discover we cannot defeat sin, we cannot defeat death. Our conscience remains seared by the law. Then we learn to lean and to hear and to trust the comfort of Jesus' work for us. His kingdom is not of this world, but it is a real kingdom in which real enemies are defeated and a real victory freely given to those burdened by sin, by those facing very real death, and by those shamed by an evil conscience. For each of these enemies, Jesus gives you his word of forgiveness, of hope, and of salvation. And that is the kingdom into which he calls you, the kingdom into which he desires all to enter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is for you. Believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And you may rise, and let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless and praise you forever that you sent your Son to rule over us poor sinners, who for our transgressions justly deserve to remain in the bondage of sin and Satan, and that in Jesus you gave us a meek and righteous King who by his death became our Savior from sin and eternal death. We beseech you so to enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior, and not, after the manner of the world, be offended by his humble form and despised word, but firmly believing in him, obtain eternal salvation through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.